Alrighty, everybody. Any Given Sunday Australia is proud to be supported by one of Australia's fastest growing men's grooming brands, Nutcare. Proudly Australian, Nutcare is taking down under grooming to the modern day man. Recently voted number one by Men's Health magazine with Bare Nuts Pubic Hair Removal Cream. That's this one just here. Nutcare is revolutionizing male grooming. As proud supporters of Any Given Sunday, Nutcare is offering all listeners and all the fam 10% off their first orders. All you simply need to do is use the promo code Any Given Sunday at the checkout and a discount will automatically be applied. And as we touched on last week, it's Bare Butts is out there as well as the other new product that they've got. So Nutcare.
Brown 45! Brown 45!
You are listening to Any Given Sunday Australia.
Yes. Hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Podcast Australia. As you can tell, I am not our host, T-Mac. Unfortunately, he's away with a personal matter, but the show must go on. I am joined, though, by the ever-reliable Tim Cardi at Tim Cardi, AGSAU. How are you, mate?
Yeah, correct. Nailed it. Yeah, going really good, mate. Yep, shout out to Macca. Obviously, we're missing him today, but as you said, mate, the show must go on. The juice must flow. The games are being played. They're coming. We got to keep it rolling, baby.
Absolutely, absolutely. So this week we are going to jump straight into it, and we've got a big game to review. We had the Thursday night football, which was Friday for us. We had the Jags, which held off the Saints, 31-24. Did you catch this game?
I did. I was able to catch pieces of it. I think we were working. Were we working? Yeah, we were working. I caught pieces of it. The Jags came out, started pretty hot, but then let the Saints come back into it in a big way, particularly in that last quarter. I think they were up 24-9 at one stage, and then Derek Carr and the Saints were able to get themselves right back in it. But then the Jags were able to finish off strong and get away with the 7 point, 6 point, 8 point. What was it? What did they win by?
7 points in the end, yeah. So it was that one touchdown score. So Lawrence was obviously playing on that sprained knee, but it was still enough to get past the Saints. And actually, I think he rushed for his season high of 59 yards.
He was the leading rusher, 8 carries for big T-Law.
Yeah, so there would have been a few nervous Jags fans out there. Despite the Jags actually trying to throw this game away because they had so many turnovers, so many penalties, they're now on a 4-game winning streak, which is crazy. Travis Etienne.
Etienne?
As they call him on ETN, which is not correct, but anyway. He ran for 2 TDs, becoming the first player in Jags history to rush for 2 TDs in 3 consecutive games, which is huge. So Lawrence did 20 from 29 for 204 yards, including one short pass to Christian Kirk, who ended up resulting in a 44-yard touchdown. He just absolutely got the ball and ran, which is good to see. That was the one that gave the Jags the lead in that fourth quarter with 3 minutes and 8 seconds remaining. And then the Saints came back with the best drive of the game, I thought anyway. Carr's third down pass on 3rd and goal bounced off the open hands of the tight end, Foster Moreau, which would have had them.
It was here.
Oh, would have had them tie the game. Or if they had gone for the 2-point conversion, they could have actually taken this one away. It would have been an absolute steal. Carr went for it on 4th and goal, but the pass was incomplete, allowing the Jags to kneel it out with 20 seconds remaining.
Yeah, it was a shame. It was almost like big Foster Moreau. He got ahead of himself almost, or, you know, he was thinking ahead. He was thinking about the catch before he'd actually taken the catch and just bobbled out. It was tough to see. And then he was pretty devoed on the sidelines at the end of the game, obviously. But all the boys, all his teammates got around him, but he definitely dropped the game there for sure.
Yeah, and there were so many mistakes like leading up to that, which the Saints were doing, which would have got him in a much better position anyway. So it couldn't have gone out to him. Like the kicker missed a 50-yard field goal right at the very start of the game, and like well and truly missed. Like didn't hit off the side. It was a few meters out. Yeah. So the Saints started off like incredibly slow. But then they rallied from 24-9 down to actually tie the game in the fourth. Carr did finish with 33 of 55 for 301 yards, but once again struggled to finish on any of those promising drives. And a huge shout out to Lou Headley, our number one Aussie, well, one of our many number one Aussies out there. We've got plenty of them. Did you see his rollout punt? So it wasn't.
There was it the 62 yard long, was it?
It was massive. But it just wasn't your standard NFL style, which was always great to see.
Yeah, he likes to mix it up and he does the more traditional Aussie style punt every now and again, doesn't he?
Yeah. And it's good to see that actually coming into the games, the NFL, and hopefully we can see a little bit more of that moving forward.
Yeah, well, I think a few of the guys have said, like, because it's not the traditional way that guys have punted the ball over in the States, so it can be a bit trickier for guys to judge in the air maybe, or a bit trickier for them to catch, like, because they're used to it sort of spiraling like a torpy, sort of more Aussie rules style.
Yeah, and it had the perfect bounce as well because it was that Aussie rule style. So it bounced and just continued to roll to the other end zone, which is completely ideal.
Got good legs.
It's a shame that the Saints weren't getting it done because obviously we want to see Lou Headley succeed. And I think I ended up tipping the Saints. Where did you go?
I tipped the Jags. You and Macca both tipped the Saints. You were laughing at me for taking the Jags. And then even in the tipping comp, it was pretty Saints heavy. Only myself and a few others took the Jags, so...
Yeah, I think Saints were favourite at home by 3 points as well.
And because Trevor Lawrence was still that game time decision, so it was kind of fair enough. But as soon as Trevor was playing, it was. Oh. I guess we'll move on. We should have said straight up.
Thank you for calling Dr. Danny's office.
Wow, how rude. Was that person calling way too early? We should have
said mid-combo, but we should have said be prepared for some good little slip-ups and some stuff-ups with the media. I'm not even sure if we're live on YouTube at the moment, but yeah.
Are we? I don't know if we are or not.
Is there another button you need to click?
No, are we actually not? No, team not. Promised me that if we opened in this studio, we would be live, but we very well may not be.
Unfortunately, it looks like we're not, but that's okay. We'll push on.
Sorry for cutting you off there, Cass. Did you want to finish where you're at?
No, we're done. That's it. Keep it rolling, baby.
Yeah, beautiful. Sorry about that. So Dr. Danny's office, as always, brought to us by C2C Rare Threads. Get your Rare Threads. They've actually opened up a shop in Surface Paradise. But if you are ordering online, they've got some really cool gear. You can get some mystery items, heaps of shoes, heaps of NFL and college gear. Just use Any Given Sunday or one word at the checkout to get 10% off. It's Any Given Sunday at the checkout.
Hell yeah.
All right. Now we are moving on to the injury report, which just going to quickly fly through because it's essentially a recap of what we did earlier this week. But Jimmy G confirmed out with his back injury, which doesn't look great for the Raiders because they're going to have to either turn to their rookie Aiden O'Connell or their vet, Brian Hoyer, but Brian Hoyer in his past 12 starts is 0-12. So I don't know how you Raiders fans are feeling out there, but you are facing the Bears, and good or bad news for you, Justin Fields is also out, ruled out with his broken thumb. They don't think he's going to need surgery, but still needs a few weeks.
McCaffrey, it's definitely not bad news for us, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not.
Back up.
Yeah, McCaffrey with the 49ers with his oblique injury, he told Coach Shanahan, don't count me out. Like, I want in.
Plan on me being there.
Yeah, and I had Debo Samuel out, and then when I was speaking to our hostess with the Moses, he's like, no, he's in. He told me this morning. So update from him that he will be playing. But
and like, they're the same. They're kind of day-to-day decisions.
Yeah, both of them are day-to-day. Montgomery, I think, is still out with his ribs. Daniel Jones with his neck. He hasn't been cleared for contact, but they've still got him as questionable against the Commanders. But if he hasn't been cleared to
He's not cleared for contact. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be playing.
Good news for any Birds fans out there. It is Kelly Green week, hence me wearing it, which you can get from just go to our link tree to find our merch store. We're going to be adding it this week as well. Huge news. But Leah, Lane Johnson, he is set to return to the Eagles after participating in a full practice, which is massive coming off that ankle injury. We need him.
You guys absolutely need him, which we're going to get to in our review in a little bit.
Yeah. Then we had DK Metcalf for the Seahawks. He has a ribs and hip injury, so having a little double bit of bang up. He's questionable for on Sunday against the Cardinals.
Did you mention DeSean?
I did not mention DeSean because DeSean...
The latest news is he's trending up. So whatever that means, I still don't know if he's playing or not.
He was throwing snaps at practice, but once again, I think he's just going to be a giant question mark. It might be a game time decision.
The Browns desperately need him out there for sure.
Beautiful. So now we're ready to move on to some news.
Roll into a bit of news for the week.
Yeah, and probably the biggest headline that we had coming out, I reckon it came right after we finished recording our latest episode.
Timing.
Yeah, shocking timing for us. But the Colts, Anthony Richardson is confirmed to have season-ending shoulder surgery. So did you catch any of this?
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, so Jim Irsay put the statement out on X. Yeah, like you said, just after we finished recording the other day. It's still listed as the sprained AC joint, and they kind of said not every sprain needs surgery, but what they've done, they took their time with it. They consulted multiple doctors and experts across the country and his close, people around him, and they said the best decision for him and him in the future as well, like looking to the future, is to get the surgery. I think it came down to the fact that he's a quarterback, and so he needs that range of motion and stuff. And the best thing to do was to have the surgery to fix up that spot. I don't even know if it's just a sprain, what they're actually going to be repairing, if there's not a tear or anything like that. But
so a grade 3 sprain can mean there's slight tears in the ligament.
Yeah, okay, that would make sense then.
Yeah, the idea of this surgery is so that he will have the full range of motion to actually repair the shoulder. And as a quarterback, you're going to need all of that.
Yeah.
He's expected to make a full recovery. Shane Steichen said the decision was about the future, like his first year quarterback. Can't have him going down.
He's going to be their franchise quarterback for years to come. Like they invested pick 4 in him. You want him. You're thinking long term. And they kind of knew, like they said early on, that he hasn't played a lot of football. And like this is just obviously another blow. He didn't get, I think he missed a couple of games already. So he might have 5 games under his belt or not even. But it's a shame moving forward, but they're going to get him in the meetings. Like he's going to be at practice. He's going to be at games on the side. So he'll still get the chance to learn and be in that NFL environment, but just not getting the game time reps, unfortunately. So, pretty unfortunate news for the Colts. We were 3-3. Like they were looking pretty good. They've got Minshew Mania. So
that's looking like the best signing that the Colts actually had this offseason.
He's coming clutch.
Not knowing that AR was actually going to go down injured. But he's going to be able to take the reins to take over the team. He had a sinker against the Jags last week with like 4 turnovers. But moving forward, knowing that now it's his team, AR's out for the rest of the season, I think he'll really be able to. He is a good enough quarterback to have a starting role. He's just always found himself in that backup position. So couldn't have asked for a better backup, especially in these circumstances.
And that's what Steichen said. It's his team now. So moving forward, like they're going in with that mindset that it's Gardner's team. So that'll do heaps for his confidence. And yeah, I think, I thought we dropped out. No, I think, moving forward, that'll be good for him and good for the Colts.
Yeah. Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, actually asked it when AR went down, is this some sort of cruel joke? Because after everything that happened with Andrew Luck, injured his shoulder in that 2015 season and then declined surgery and went straight back. After 2 games, continued to play. And then in the 2016 offseason, he was like, nah, I'm just going to rehab. I'm going to push through it. Ended up being in excruciating pain for that whole season. So wasn't playing up to his standard that he was hoping for. Eventually had the surgery in 2017 after years of pain and then had complications in his recovery. So then he missed the whole 2017 season, came back in 2018, ended up being a Pro Bowl player, but then only went on to retire in 2019, saying that between the pain and the mental struggles that he went through battling that injury for those 4 years, he was done. So it was a very, very, very short career for Andrew Luck, who was meant to be the quarterback that was going to save the Colts. I think there's a little bit of fear within the Colts organization that something similar potentially could have happened with AR. And they're like, we're not going to risk that. We're going to get him out, get him 100%, and then get him back after that.
Yeah, especially after the turnstile of quarterbacks that they've had through there in the last couple of years, and it just hasn't worked. So they want that continuity. They're investing in AR. He's the future. So I think it's a good decision in the end. Shame that he's out for the rest of the year, but yeah, good decision for the future going forward.
Yeah, especially after such a hot start. Like I can't remember his exact stats, but it was like 5 TD passes in the first 3 games or something. He came out really good, and he was a dominant threat both on the feet and in the air.
He's exciting to watch too. You want him out there.
Which is essentially the makeup now of a modern day quarterback.
Yeah, that's the prototype, isn't it?
For sure. Moving on to the next bit of news. This one took me by surprise. Obviously, us Australians being big punting fans, as we have to be. Chiefs said that they were open to let Mahomes punt if needed. So it turns out Mahomes is actually the Chiefs' backup punter.
It's wild to think about.
So that's what I thought. And then I did a little bit more reading. So Tommy Townsend, their current punter, was questionable due to his knee injury. And they actually went to Mahomes pre-game being like, look, if he can't kick, it's you.
You're right.
Get me out there. Mahomes actually punted in high school when he was playing in Texas. I think it was for Whitehall, something.
I'm not sure what his high school,
He punted 29 times for an average of 37.8 yards. Obviously, that's not NFL standard. I think the average is more around the 47 to 50 mark. But he punted 29 times. This is one of the greatest quarterbacks, potentially going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
It's wild to think about. Apparently, he punts at practice and stuff all the time and, says to the special teams coach, always lets the special teams coach know, and he's, always, sending the punts down, boom, all that sort of stuff.
I honestly, I don't want Tommy to be injured, but I'd love for him just to step aside.
I want to see it. Exactly right. Yeah, I want to see
it. Let him have at least one NFL punt.
That'd be sick. Stupid to see, but imagine how many times that's going to be replayed around if that happens.
Oh, so many times. So many times. It'd be great. Now, moving on to some news that we've spoken about a little bit so far.
Mm. Yeah, we sort of started to talk about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but the noise is getting louder and more and more people are starting to draw attention to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're moving on to Bill Belichick's. His seat is getting warmer and warmer. So he's not quite in the hot seat yet, but the discussions have definitely started and turns out have been going on for quite some time with ownership about moving on from Bill Belichick.
I think he's 71. So, and he's not going to be able to coach forever. That's just obvious, but it's just because he's been able to make the Patriots the dynasty team that they were for the last, and even for just successful for the last two decades, and he's the GM as well. But I think it's just tricky moving forward. They're 1-5. I think they didn't make the playoffs last year. How long does he go? If he keeps going on and the Patriots still suck, when does it start to affect his legacy? Obviously, he's one of the best coaches of all time. It's the way I think of it is how long do you keep going on before it starts to affect your legacy of being that great coach? He's obviously still loves it. He's still the GM. He's still invested so much time. It's his whole life. But I think it just comes to a point where you've got to kind of protect what you've done. Probably make the call yourself. Don't get fired. I think that's important too. Don't get fired. Make the call yourself. And even if he just GMs or, stay one or the other, but definitely something's probably got to go this year, I reckon.
Yeah, so the Patriots are actually facing the Bills this week, which I'll touch on later.
Yeah.
But it's not looking good. So they're 1-5 now. They've actually lost their last four straight games against Buffalo. If they start the season 1-6, I think this is already one of the worst starts since who knows when, over a decade ago. It's one of the worst starts. And then they're potentially more than most likely going to go down 1-6 facing the Bills squad. Robert Kraft and Jonathan, which is the father-son, have been planning Bill's succession since this past off-season. They were actually in talks with their DC, Jared Mayo. He was actually going to interview for the Panthers head coaching job, and both the ownership was like, let's just put a pause on that. So in case, Bill steps aside and we actually need you to be our head coach. So there's been plans and talks for this since this coming offseason. This previous offseason. So it's already in the background, in the works, and all that's just come out this week.
And some people might say, oh, that's disrespectful. It's Bill Belichick. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. But you got to be realistic. Like we said, he can't coach forever. You do have to have a bit of a plan in place. And probably keeping someone from within the building, it would definitely help that transition era from away from the Belichick era. So keeping someone from within the building would probably be a smarter move, definitely moving forward, I think.
And we're seeing it all over social media, all over every podcast, every news article, they're talking about it. And the ownership are hearing that.
Oh, yeah.
And they need to keep, at the end of the day, it's a, as much as they need to win, it's also a business. And they need to keep their fans happy. And if it means moving on from Bill, well, then they might have to move on from Bill. But I'm 100% with you in the fact that he probably should walk away himself and not let it get to the point where he's getting fired.
Yeah, I think just protect your legacy. Like, he doesn't have anything else to prove, that's for sure.
Yeah, if he steps down as the head coach and still keeps that GM role, like, all you're doing is being like, okay, I'm not getting this done, but I know as the GM that we need to do something to improve on that.
Yeah, yeah, no, I totally agree. I think we're on the same page there. That's good.
Beautiful. So we'll move on to our game previews. Cass, you want to kick us off?
I can, mate. I've got probably what's being already called potentially the game of the year and what some people think might be a little Super Bowl preview potentially. So we got the 5-1, sorry, Dolphins coming up against your 5-1 Birds in Philly. Nice graphic. Great work on the media there, Danny Boy. Quick shout out. Well done. Yeah, so up in Philly, both teams 5-1, kind of humming along pretty nicely here. Had a little bit of a look. Obviously, we know that the Dolphins are a juggernaut on offense. They've got Waddle, Hill, Mostert on the ground, all those guys getting really good production. They're ranked number one for yards per game in the pass, so over 316 yards. And then they're also ranked number one in yards per carry or yards per catch in 13.7. And obviously Tyreek Hill is a massive part of that. He's had four games over 155 yards. And he, as an individual, is ranked first for yards per game and yards per catch. Tua is ranked first for touchdowns. He's ranked first with the highest quarterback rating of over 114. And he also has the lowest quarterback pressure percentage. So obviously the O-line there is being really dominant. I think he's only been sacked in the game that they lost. Other than that, he hasn't been touched. So their O-line, and like, you know, obviously it was a huge focus from last year of, with his concussions and things like that. So they've really shored up the O-line there. On the flip side of that, Philly, your defense, you guys are ranked number two for quarterback hits and fifth for sacks. So you guys have got a pretty formidable defensive line there. So those two coming up against each other, that's going to be the massive battle throughout the day, I think. Your offense needs to lift. Last week, Hurts had three interceptions and just didn't look his normal self against, and what's a lot of people, to be fair, would say are not really much of a contender in the Jets. And they gave you a first. But they got a good D, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's the Jets. But they gave you your first L for the year. But off the back of that, so offense needs to lift. The Dolphins pass rush is elite, so they can get to Hurts, but their pass defense can be exploited. So they do rank around the mid to high 20s for pass defense. So potential to exploit there for the wide receivers for you guys. So if Hurts can kind of lock back in, get his accuracy back dialed in, potential for you guys to exploit the pass defense. I think you guys are 3-point favorites at home. And yeah, and the betting head-to-head, you're also $1.60 favorites there. So huge game, potential Super Bowl preview. People are talking already. This is going to be an absolute cracker, I'm tipping.
Yeah, I was really tempted to preview this game myself, but
I'm surprised you let it slide.
I thought last week I spoke about the Birds. I speak about the Birds all the time. Any chance I can squeeze them into some form of conversation, I am. So I thought I'd let this one go. But you're absolutely right. There, it's going to be such a good head-to-head battle. Two offensive juggernauts, and also two teams with some pretty decent defense as well. And the Eagles expected to get back Darius Slay and Jalen Carter for this one, which is
massive. Yeah, Eagles, yeah.
Without both of them coming back, we would have been in a little bit more trouble coming into this. I think Tua and Hill and that connection, if we don't have Slay lining up on Hill, we're in trouble. He's going to probably run rings around him anyway. So, but at least with Slay, you've got someone of that caliber that could potentially at least stop some of it.
And you can only do so much to try and stop Hill. He's just so fast. I think the key is going to be getting to Tua and getting the pressure on Tua before he can get the ball to Hill, because Hill's just such a beast that he'll get open eventually. Like, he's so fast. He's so hard to guard. So the key is going to be getting pressure on Tua, doesn't have to be a sack every time, but just getting pressure on and making it hard to make that connection. But yeah, it is the Sunday night primetime game. So it'd be huge. There's going to be so many eyeballs on this game. I think tentatively I'm going to take you boys just because of the home field advantage, I'm thinking at this point. But, geez, it's a hard game to pick.
Yeah, it's a home field advantage. And like I said before, rocking the Cali green.
Hell yeah.
For the first time this season, and I think the first time in a very long time. So the fans are going to be super passionate. It's going to be really loud. Jalen needs a bounce back game. As long as he tidies up his interceptions and the O-line with Lane Johnson coming back to actually be able to protect him.
Yeah.
I think we should be able to get it done. It's going to be a very nervous watch. And I think a lot of eyes are going to be on it because this game is not only going to be determining which team goes 6-1, which is huge because now there's five teams that are 5-1 at the moment, 5-4. But these two of the best teams in the league currently. But also looking forward, it's going to be really interesting to see how these two match up, being two of the more dominant teams playing a dominant team themselves. So it's not just them going through, you know, the Giants, for example, or the Bears. It's going to be good to see how they both perform against an absolute elite side.
Good versus good, yeah. Like, you know, it's all well and good to beat up on the lower teams, but good versus good, it's going to make for a crack and clash. It's 11:20, I'm pretty sure, Australian time on a Monday morning. So,
And if you're lucky or unlucky enough to be down in Melbourne, the weather is really poor at the moment. Perfect time to sit inside, rug
make
up.
A couch, watch some football.
Watch some football.
Perfect. All right, let's move on to your game, brother.
So I am previewing another 5-1 team in the Lions. They are traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. So the Lions really want to prove themselves even more than, you know, just having that 5-1 record, prove themselves that they are a Super Bowl contending team. Because they're getting a lot of hype about it, but they're probably not getting as much credit as they deserve for how well they've started. It's going to be hard, though, going into Baltimore and actually getting that dub. Baltimore's defense continues to prove itself against every offense they're facing. They're keeping all offenses under a 60% completion rate on throws, which is pretty low in the grand scheme of things. Detroit have a really balanced offense. They like to throw the ball as much as they like to rush the ball. But with them having so many injuries in their running back room, they're going to have to rely more on their air game. But last week, that didn't make a difference to Goff because he went for 353 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Bucks. Absolutely tore him apart. The Ravens' defense, though, they are tied first with 24 sacks so far this season. That's 24 sacks through 6 games. That's a lot. We're talking 4 sacks a game on average. That is a huge amount. The Lions defense are going to have to keep an eye on Lamar Jackson, though, because once again, his ability to scramble like it is every year and rush the ball is just next to none. Last week alone, he rushed for 62 yards. And every game so far this season, he's had over 45-plus rushing yards in the past 5 games. His favorite targets, Zay Flowers, the rookie, doing great. He had a bit of an off week last week. I think, you know, it was sub 40 receiving yards. And then his other favorite target, Mark Andrews. He's actually leading the Ravens in receiving yards as a tight end, which is incredible. The line is similar, real tight. It's 3 to the Ravens at home.
Just 3.
Yeah. I think head to head, I'm going to take the Lions because I think they've got so much to prove. I know they're short in the running back at the moment, but with the way that they're playing and they've just got so much to prove, I think I'm going to have to jump on that Lions bandwagon.
Yeah, like I think I wouldn't say bullish, but we like the Lions. We talk about them a bit. The Ravens, I wouldn't say we've slept on them, but we haven't been talking about them as much, but they've been getting it done and they've had decent, like, you know, you can only beat who's in front, you can only play who's in front of you each week, but they've had some decent wins. Like they took down the Bengals early. The Browns and Houston have been a bit more of a surprise package, but then they also dropped the game against the Colts in Pittsburgh, who we're not really sure about so much. And then the Lions, the only game they dropped was against the Seahawks, and that was a bit of a shootout, 37-31. So I don't know. I think I'm the same. I just, there's a bit more to like about the Lions, and maybe just because we see him a little bit more, but I think I'm going to take this to the Lions as well.
Yeah, it's a nervous one. And I remember when I was going through and doing my tips for this week, there's either the games are either really close and like it's flip of a coin on who's going to take it, or it's a pretty clear favourite on who's getting through.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tougher week tipping this week for sure. There's some pretty evenly matched games getting around, I think. Lots of close lines, I reckon, this week for sure.
Absolutely. And speaking of the games coming up ahead, do you have your lock of the week?
I do, and I've been jumping back and forth a little bit, but I'm going to go probably a little bit more conservative this week, but I'm going to take the 49ers for my lock this week. The
49ers over Minnesota on Monday. Over Minnesota.
In Minneapolis, but I think 49ers have shown us enough that they're still an absolute wagon. So I'm going to jump on with them this week. How about you, mate?
And, the Vikings, they've had a tough year because they played so well last year, but T-Mac was saying the whole way throughout that they were pretenders. They were just pretenders because they kept on just winning those close.
Well, he kept saying like the big thing was they were winning those one score games. If you flip the script and they start losing them, then, they're a terrible team, this and that. And Mac is just a hater because he's a cheesehead. But I guess it kind of does show that, they're 2-4 this year. So struggling, and like they've only beat the Panthers and the Bears. They haven't really proved much this week. So, I think definitely the 49ers will get it done up there in Minneapolis.
And I'll move on to my lock as I quickly get up the other boys' locks of the week. I am also going incredibly conservative, and we spoke about it before with the Patriots coming up to face the Bills and then going down for nothing. I'm going to jump on the Bills as my absolute lock of the week.
Oh, fair enough. It's called the lock for a reason.
Yeah. I'm losing in everything else. I'm losing in the tips. I'm losing in sleeper.
I don't mind it.
Old Gil needs a win.
You're tied second with me, so not too bad.
And our hostess with the mostess, he phoned in earlier today and he's picked a potentially controversial one.
A little bit left field, which is good. I like that.
Yeah, so just to keep the juices flowing, he's jumped on Atlanta to take down the Bucs at home in Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay are actually favorite. They're paying $1.67 to take out the win. And he's jumped on the Falcons, which is going to be huge if it actually comes up. I'd love to see it.
They're 3-3, and they're another team that we don't talk about too often. But I like that it's a little bit juicy for Macca. It keeps it interesting. You got to throw out a little juicy one every now and again. Even though you did just say it's called the lock for a reason, but that's because we're defending ourselves.
It's a lock for us, but for him who's leading, he can swerve every now and then.
Just go for the juice, mate. Go for the juice.
Just to keep it entertaining. And both myself and T-Mac reached out to Charlie, so we ended up getting four locks, and I ended up speaking him back down. So I believe he needed two more, and then it'll be up to date with us.
If he does, he's doing two this week because he's playing catch-up system, and then it'll just be back to one every week. So just two from Charlie we need.
Yeah, beautiful. So Charlie's jumped on, and he has chosen the Seahawks.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the Seahawks at home over Arizona. I feel like they will definitely get this done. The Cardinals, though, have been surprising, and they have beaten some better teams.
I've got a soft spot for the Seahawks, and I like that pick. Yeah. They're pretty heavy, they're heavy favorites.
Yeah, and then for his second pick, he's agreed with you, and he's jumped on the 49ers at Minnesota. Take down those Vikings.
Nice safe one. Last chance to get two back while he's playing catch up. So I don't mind that from Charlie.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, he jumped on with you. So of course you don't mind it.
Of course I don't.
Beautiful, mate. Well, I feel like we have done incredibly well, seeing it is just the two of us.
The two of us.
There was only one minor hiccup on my behalf with, maybe two. Not going live on YouTube, even though I promised everyone on Twitter that I would. Sorry, X, formerly known as Twitter.
I would.
And to the little media mishap. But apart from that, we got through.
I think you did great, mate. You got the screen sharing, you had all the stings and everything. I think you did a great job. And we didn't get live. We'll work on that. We'll make it happen next time. But for the two of us, two idiots, they let the lunatics run the asylum. I think we did okay. We bumbled on for 34 minutes. If you've made it this far, well done. What are you still doing here?
Yeah, big pat on the back for both of us just for getting it done. But yeah, everyone, enjoy your football Monday if you're in Australia, or football Sunday if you are in the States or Europe. I'm not sure what time their games are. But either way,
Europe.
Yeah, either way, enjoy week 7.
Yeah, let's have a big week 7. Get your locks of the week in. Let us know your locks of the week in the comments on our socials. How about that?
Yeah, and follow us on everything that you can.
Everything.
We're everywhere. Got it all. We got the X. You know, we got the TikToks. We're on YouTube. We'll try and be live next time.
Love that. Great stuff, mate.
All right, go Birds. We need a win after last week, so I'm taking it this time.
You can have it.
Fly, Eagles, fly. I had to click stop. I nearly ended. I nearly left.